My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Get more points. Come on. Come on, boys. That's it. Watch the fiver. Soften it up. Sports.
This is Sports Sunday.
Jokic has it. Clock takes. Gonna put one up. Jokic for the win. It's good. Jokic got it off in time.
With Rashawn Taylor and Joe Fisher.
First and goal. Mahomes flings it. It's there. Hardman. Jackpot.
Hate me or love me. You watched. That's all you could do.
And 1080.
Who do you think you are?
The Fan.
Good morning. Welcome into Football Sunday. We are slowly morphing into Football Sunday. We're like halfway there. We've got a college football back. We got NFL starting this week. So we are just about fully engulfed into Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashawn Taylor across the faux marble table, Jordan Schultz across the glass.
Football in Brasilia this week.
Yeah, that's all good. What's wrong with my microphone? Why is it so flaccid?
The microphone is having some ED problems over there.
It's like it won't stay up.
Yep. I noticed that what was it? 2 weeks ago, when I was doing Hot Corner, is that the microphone is
a little flat.
Needs some, what'd you say before the show? Some Cialis.
Cialis, man, yeah. Let's get this thing a Blue Chew or something.
Some Blue Chew. Some hymns, you know.
Hey,
you
we could use a sponsor on the show. Yeah. Definitely put some Blue Chews.
Put a mic flag on the... on that one, you know, sponsored. This microphone brought to you by Viagra. Don't be like this microphone.
Well, you know, what's crazy is, you know, we used to live in a day where guys are really like private about telling people they
kind
took a Viagra or Cialis or something like that. Now, dudes are openly like, yep, about to pop this Blue Chew, this honey pack, and I'm about to be in the mix.
Like a rock!
Nobody really cares like that you have to use it anymore.
Oh, it's like a rock!
That's exactly what it is. You know, ever use that Blue Chew? It's
me?
Amazing, bro.
I mean, no.
I've dabbled in those, yeah.
I use that. What do they have at the gas stations?
Ginseng?
The horny goat weed.
the get it immediately, like whatever the package says.
I remember that seeing that at a Plaid Pantry when I was like 12 or something like that. I was like, what? Horny goat weed?
Yeah.
I'm like, what is that? Those are three words that I didn't think would belong together.
So when I was I want to say like maybe eighth grade or freshman.
You took some horny goat weed?
I did not. Yeah. Well, it might have been. It was just ginseng. That was the thing like that you could do. I guess it helped you with your performance. I don't know why I was worried about it. I was 14, so I wasn't doing anything at
Slaying.
That point. You know, Rashad's yeah.
Just but, ready to go every
yeah,
night.
Every day. But if it does happen, I got this ginseng in my system, and we are ready to rock, you know? So, but no, that's one. Shout out to the fellas, man. No need to be ashamed anymore.
I want to know, I'm going to pose this to the Vancouver Ford text line and the listeners out there. One, have you heard of horny goat weed? And two, has anybody out there ever taken it?
I mean, I've heard of horny goat weed, yes. Yeah. It's probably been in a lot of the supplements that, like, if you're taking a one a day or something out there for dudes, there's some out there that have, like, horny goat weed and ginseng. And yeah, because there's, like, the certain one a days, then there's the all-encompassing one a days, then there's the performance one of days, you know what I mean?
It derives from the barrenwort plant. Contains chemicals that might help increase blood flow and improve sexual function.
All right, now we're just sounding like an
they said
commercial.
Might.
Well, it was sold at a Plaid Pantry, like, you know, like right near the checkout stand, and the labeling for it was not as enticing as you would think it is.
Apparently.
And they don't have the advertising money like Viagra or Cialis. Imagine seeing those ads. You're just watching TV, college football game, horny goat weed.
Well, actually, yeah. I mean, it plays. It goes just, you know, perfectly with, you know,
two Rams just bashing their heads together.
It's actually not about the money anymore behind the drugs. I don't know if y'all knew this, but like Viagra now, the patent expired. So that's why we can all get it like super easily, you know, accessible. Like it used to be like you had to go pay a bunch and get it from a doctor like back in the day when it was invented. But now
I don't think Pfizer made their money.
Now, you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pfizer made their money, so now everybody else can kind of make a dime off of it, too. So now you can have a, you know, discreet conversation on your phone, apparently, according to all these commercials, and get it sent right to you.
Apparently, horny goat weed is a traditional Chinese medicine used to treat high blood pressure and used with some women that are in menopause, which isn't super surprising because I think Viagra was created for high blood pressure.
It's like a blood dilator. So yeah, it keeps your blood flowing. So it's a good, it's actually, I think it helps people work out too, is what I was reading one time.
Maybe I need to reach out to Horny Goat Weed for a show sponsorship or something on the fan.
Get a lifetime supply.
Dirt and Sprague Mail Sack brought to you by a Horny Goat Weed. Boy, I can't think of a better sponsor for that.
That'll be great.
You lined it up perfectly.
Well, I felt like
hopefully
I was.
They're listening.
I felt like I was on horny goat weed all day yesterday because college football was on literally from 9 a.m. to 10:45.
For the rest of the night.
Yeah. A solid 12 hours of college football on my TV. And how I knew it was really here, like, you know, I was watching the Clemson-Georgia game to start, but how I knew college football and football season was officially here was when I had some lemon pepper and barbecue wings come out of the air fryer. Because I got this little Ninja wood fire grill.
Ooh.
And it's multifunction. It can do grilling. It can do smoking. It can do baking. So I could bake something on there if I wanted to. But it also has an air fryer function. And I feel like I am borderline mastering chicken wings at this point with the air fryer.
I mean,
which I don't know if that's exactly something that hard to do, but
I mean, it is like you can follow the recipe sometime and your wings still come out effed up, right? Well, and you're angry and stuff like that. But if you get the right temp, the right time, the right seasonings, like, hey man, it's a game changer.
The two most important factors I have found with chicken wings to get that good crispy skin, you got to get them as dry as possible.
Right.
You got to pat them down. You know, you got to towel them off beforehand. And then the second one is baking powder. If you use those two things, like I've done even just in the oven wings before, but you pat those babies, get them dry as possible, and then baking powder. And I'm sure there's some people listening out there that it's like, dude, those aren't like exactly like secrets.
Like, well, those, it might be news to somebody.
That's common sense right there, brother. But no, I was just, you know, my novice cooking mind for a while was just, you know, taking the wings out of the package, putting some like oil on them and then seasoning them how I liked and then throwing them on the grill or throwing them in the oven, however I did it. But then I learned. I changed my ways. So I had some lemon pepper wings and then.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
All day.
Oh, my God.
I think that's the number one flavor now, yeah?
Lemon pepper? It's got to be up there. Like the garlicky.
I mean,
like
garlic
that.
Parm is, garlic is parm, always yeah.
That's
legit,
a solid one.
But. Man, lemon pepper, man, come on.
Actually, fat guy hack here, the Buffalo Wild Wings, like the garlic pepper sauce that you can buy, you know, like in the package.
Legit.
Mix that with a little sour cream, and you've got the perfect dip for chips. It's so good.
Then I just bought,
I'm embarrassed at how good it actually is.
The lemon pepper, and then at the store, I just bought like a pre-seasoned barbecue spice wings or something like that, and then I threw a little bit of like cayenne pepper on them, some paprika, and a little bit more seasoning to spice it up a little bit more. But once I saw that heaping pile of wings right in front of me with some Hidden Valley baby.
Oh yeah,
it was officially game time.
You're a Hidden Valley guy.
I mean, I don't. I'm not. really a ranch loyalist over here. You know, I feel like Hidden Valley is just, you know, it's a classic. You know, you can't go wrong. But I'm sure there are many other ranches that I could probably go with.
You know what? I'm only I've evolved. You know, I'm no longer a ranch with my wings.
Blue cheese? I've
evolved to blue cheese. Yeah. And I only use it with like hot wings. Like, you know, so I don't really use it for my any other wings outside of hot.
Fire on the Mountain has really good blue cheese here in town. Mm-hmm. And then if you're at the store and you're looking for ranch, there's a powder mix next to the Hidden Valley powder mix called Uncle Dan's Southern Seasoning. Ooh. That is the ranch that we have at my house. It is amazing.
Okay.
And you got to get the... I think you got to go with like the original Southern recipe. There's two different ones. And yeah, you just throw a packet of that in like a thing of sour cream, let it sit overnight. And that's every party that we have. That's on the table for food.
I want to say I used a packet of Uncle Dan's French onion
probably
a couple weeks back to just make a French onion dip.
Hell yeah, dude.
I mean, that we want to talk about not hard at all. Not just your microphone, but just a tub of sour cream and a packet. That's all you need to make a dip. And
sour cream is a huge go-to. You can put that in really anything. You know, you guys should know I'm not a mayo guy.
Ditto.
I hate mayonnaise. You know, I wish I had one of the things.
You're trying to kill me.
I wish I had one of the watches from Undercover Brother where I can just
spray some hot sauce.
Spritz of hot sauce, you know, on something. but sour cream, you know, is something that comes in like super, super handy, man. So
I'm on wingaddicts.com. I feel like they might know what they're talking about, but they'd put the number one, you see, this is a cop out. They say the number one wing flavor is buffalo. I don't know about you. Buffalo on my wing flavor rankings, it's like a solid like 6 or 7. Like I could think of multiple flavors before just going for the pure buffalo.
I don't know. There's something classic about just the hot sauce kind of taste with the ranch or blue cheese. Like, man, I don't know if
those are,
everybody serves buffalo. Like, I mean, they might not have lemon pepper or garlic palm or Asian zing or whatever you want to call it, but everywhere that serves wings has buffalo. And typically if the wings come out and they're buffalo, nobody's mad.
Well, Joe, I think you might be like what do we call like kids that, you know, don't really know what existed before them nowadays? Like, it's kind of like the new age flavors of wings that like our generation's into. Like, buffalo is the standard, and yeah, I think you just kind of have to like bow.
It's
to
the
that.
Big Mac.
No, yeah. I get it. But for this guy, I would prefer, like I said, I mean, give me lemon pepper, give me Caribbean jerk, give me just a regular barbecue.
Yeah,
soft
sweet
wing,
barbecue, right? Or a hot sweet. That's my, yes, please.
There is this place, if any of you venture back down to Eugene, and it's not particularly close to the stadium. It's more so like...
So I won't be there on game days is what you're saying.
Before or after, to
get in town on game days and then trying to get to the stadium, you better just go straight to the stadium.
Before or after, maybe. But it's on 13th, which is, it's like downtown Eugene, but definitely, I don't know, like 20 blocks or so from campus. But this place called Hot Mama's Wings.
Okay.
I mean, just the name alone, you're like, all right, they must be doing something right. Let me see if I can get the menu pulled up, because some of the wing flavors there, my God. Like, I think they have a maple bacon wing.
Oh.
Oh.
I like that.
Excuse me? Yes. Apparently, Register Guard, Reader's Choice, first place. How about that? Yeah, let me find these wing flavors, because I'm telling you, it is, they got game changers. So, of course, lemon pepper, dry rub, garlic, parmesan, chili, lime, cilantro.
Oh, I'll take that one.
Asian honey mustard, Thai peanut, Jamaican jerk, dry rub. Buffalo garlic. The buffalo garlic, I would prefer that versus just the classic buffalo. I would be going for that. Raspberry habanero.
There you go.
Inferno.
There you go.
With raspberry multiple exclamation marks after
now,
that.
Now, how are you with hot wings? Like, Inferno.
Oh, no. Dude, the hotter the better.
Really?
Give me, like, I was saying to my girlfriend the other day, I was like, I haven't had something recently that was like overwhelmingly hot where I'm like, oh my God, like tearing up a little bit. Mark that. Spiced maple bacon, kamikaze. Like, I've been needing some pretty hot stuff lately, but I have yet to be tested recently. And I feel like it needs to happen. Like,
well,
there was,
I think we should do it. We should do it here on the show, but at the end of the show.
What?
Just, you should see how hot, you know, how hot Joe can take it. Like, there's all these.
Hot can I get?
Yeah, you know.
There's already a YouTube show.
They already have, like, you know, all those hot ones sausages at, like, World Market, which I'm a, you know, I get loyalty points and stuff from there.
Oh, you're a World Market card-carrying member?
I love World Market. It's one of my favorite stores. But, yeah, let's get some of that hot sauce, and let's see how Joe takes it.
I can take it, and I can take it good. Ooh. All right. Mm. All right, let's get to football. Poll question. Let me get this pulled up here. Results from last week, Daniel Jones with the most pressure, most to prove in his conference this year. And then Deshaun Watson was also the winner in his respective division as far as most to prove this season.
Two douches for very different reasons in their own rights.
One more of a douche, I would say.
I've seen Daniel Jones talk. Yes, obviously one's more of a
douche. Have you seen him in a private hotel room with a masseuse that he hired by himself?
No.
Thank God, because I don't know if anybody would want to see that.
Yeah, you know, I was a fly on the wall during the Ben Roethlisberger accusation. Whoa, when he Daniel pushed Jones, a woman into a bathroom.
You're here too?
What are you doing here?
That's weird. But Sunday, Sports Sunday poll question brought to you by Idaho Potato Commission. Good for them. What was the biggest revelation of the first Saturday of college football? Ducks O-line concerns, Beavs running game, Miami better than advertised, or the Clemson no-show? You can go ahead and vote on that on the 1080 The Fan Twitter page, X page, whatever you want to call it. There is one answer that is running away with this poll question, and we will get to that next year, and we start with the Oregon Ducks. Right here, Football Sunday, Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Schultzy across the glass, 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oregon Ducks, week one, you're playing Idaho, FCS opponent, as Rashad's doctor said, like, it's not that serious of a game
this
week. You
don't really need to go to that.
Yeah.
You know, I think you'll be okay
you're
if you
good.
Don't go this weekend.
You know, funny story, it was earlier in the week, I was talking with the general manager over at Shehalem Glen Golf Course. And asked him, you know, I'm like, hey, what do you got planned for Labor Day weekend? And he goes, oh, I'm going to head down to Autzen and go to the game on Saturday because my wife and I are, we're Vandals. We're Idaho Vandals. We both went to Idaho. And so we're going to go support. And it was one of those like, well, you know, I would say I hope it's a good game, but we got to know how those week one games go, right? You know, like giving him the whole like, well, best of luck out there. Wow, that backfired quickly.
Real quick. Yeah, I wouldn't have told anybody.
I will say good for him because it was also his first Autzen Stadium experience as well. And he got to see his Idaho Vandals somehow take it into the fourth quarter.
They hung around.
Deep into the fourth quarter, losing by just 3 points. And my God, I don't smoke cigarettes, but last night that was definitely a game I considered I could use a heater or two after this one, because what the hell?
So
what the hell happened?
So like most of us here, I didn't get a chance to see the game, just because it was not on television, and I thought I might have had the Pac-12, the Big Ten Network on Roku, and it is, but it ain't. Like, what I saw was
Network adjacent?
Yeah, it's like a bunch of, like, classic games and, you know, guys talking, but it wasn't the actual games that I was kind of looking for. So that was a little bit disappointing. Well,
you were, whether it was you or a famous quarterback for the Oregon Ducks, Joey Harrington, that you can hear every Friday right here on 1080 The Fan. Here's his tweet at 4:32. Mind you, the kickoff is 4:30. Wait. Why can't I watch the Duck game?
Like,
so he realized in real time, what the hell?
I thought that was a joke. Like, I thought maybe he had seen the news or had
a conversation. I pray that it was a joke.
I hope it was tongue-in-cheek. Like, wait a second. Like, kind of representing the fan out there that would
But just think about the fan that didn't know, right?
Because
my wife knew about the blackouts on the West Coast. So just think about the fans that didn't know. You're Jordan. You got all your Duck gear on right now. You got your wings ready. The homies are coming over.
Got my Miller High Life. You got all beers. Iced up.
You told your friends, man, come on through, man. We're kicking it over here. We're gonna watch the first game of the season, and then turn on your TV and you can't find it.
I just I have the vision of Joey Harrington at his home, getting ready all day. Maybe down in Eugene. I don't know where he was at yesterday, but just getting ready for the game. Sits down, plops down on the couch, and then he just starts going through Comcast. Channel after channel, trying to find it. Yeah, exactly. Like, all right, Ducks game. What channel was that on again? Okay, they said Big Ten Network. Where's the Big Ten Network?
Yeah,
Where's the Big Ten Network?
Yeah, what's happening?
This will be my PSA to anybody out there that did miss the game because they had Comcast. Just get YouTube TV and thank me later. I've been rolling with YouTube TV for about 2 years now. I had a multi-view going at one point. It was Oregon Ducks. Top right, I want to say it was Michigan, Fresno State, bottom right, Texas A&M, Notre Dame, bottom left, and then in the top right, Hawaii versus UCLA.
Ooh,
one of those things is not like the other, but hey, that was the multi-view choice that I went with. Granted, it was definitely one of those where I had to end up just putting the Oregon game on by itself to really be like, all right, we need to lock in here. Because yesterday was not good, Bob. 24-14 final score for the Oregon Ducks over the Idaho Vandals. Just a messy, sloppy game on one side of the ball in particular. Really one unit of the game in particular. And that was the offensive line. That was the glaring difference in this game, was the line of scrimmage. And that's what the poll question is saying right now. The overwhelming saying that the biggest revelation yesterday on the College Football Saturday out of the Ducks O-line, the Beavers running game, Miami better than advertised, or Clemson's no-show, Ducks offensive line concerns are running away with it. And it showed at multiple points yesterday, whether it was pre-snap penalties, whether it was tripping on your own player's feet on a 4th-and-1, which then led to the Ducks getting stopped, and then Idaho immediately scoring on the next play on a trick play. Whether it was the edges of the Idaho Vandals defense getting way too much pressure. There was multiple times in the second half where the Ducks were in the red zone, and there were tipped passes by an edge rusher or a defensive lineman that was getting way too far deep into the pocket, and Dylan Gabriel goes to make a pass and one of the linemen gets a hand on it. It's like, that is unacceptable. You lost the line of scrimmage battle yesterday. And I know that there are some injury concerns. You had, I believe, walk-on senior that was starting at center. They had to move over their original starting center to right guard. I'm spacing on the name, but it was just glaringly nerve-wracking as far as yesterday and the rest of the season goes. Like, the one good thing I'll say, get humbled early. You know, They'll be reading the press clippings, the tweets, the reactions and the thoughts. And to know that you got pushed around by an FCS school on the offensive front, like, hopefully that lights a fire in that room, because they're going to have plenty to show in the film room as well, as far as like, guys, what were we doing?
They better buckle up. The Ducks better buckle up, because if this season is going to be, if yesterday's game was indicative to what the rest of the season is going to be, they're in trouble. Because guess what? They're going to play much better teams than Idaho as they get ready to move forward in this new Big Ten conference, the Big 18.
Well, they get the best team in Idaho next week in Boise State.
So, and exactly. And we know Boise State can be tricky. They can be a tough one for a lot of teams.
It's tricky for Oregon. Yeah. We've seen the history against them.
And is it at the Smurf Turf?
Oh no,
no.
Oh,
is it? No, it's a home
game. It's a home game. I was about to say, that would be terrible.
Yeah, Byron Hout memory.
I just saw a Ducks team that was kind of slow. I mean, in certain regards, or at least from the YouTube that I got a chance to see, because I couldn't actually watch the game, but I just see a team that was kind of slow. You know, it took a while for them after that first touchdown. There was some lulls there, right? You know, it was a lot of three and outs. There was a lot of mistakes. There's a lot of Dylan Gabriel running for his life, you know, and stuff like that. So I think if that's going to be the case, like, this is going to be a tough week for them. A really tough week going into this Boise State game, because your offensive line has to give your Heisman hopeful an opportunity to make some plays out there. And you saw, man, Tez Johnson, who is my favorite player to play with in college football.
Did you know he's Bo Nix's brother?
By blood?
We've been over this, that he was adopted.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay. we have.
If you watched a game last year, then they made sure to mention it.
Thankfully, we don't have to hear about that one anymore.
Oh, it will happen.
Until he gets drafted by the Broncos.
Under 3.5 games that we get a mention of that.
So
I'm taking the under.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the under as well, man. But I don't know. I think this Ducks team, it looked a little slow. They really didn't put on a 7 in the first quarter, 7 in the second, don't score in the third, really slow third, and you put up 10. That's not the Ducks team that we're used to. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. We're all used to, and it's been a minute, but 70 points a game, right? The Ducks just running over everybody, especially teams that were, let's just go ahead and say, inferior to them. Like, we're used to seeing the score like 42-7, at the end of the first half. Like, and I think a lot of those days are gone, And if you look around a lot of college football, unless you're, Ohio State, a lot of those teams don't really put up those crazy, crazy Chip Kelly numbers that they used to. So some of these games are going to look ugly, especially if the offensive line is going to look like that. But that's something, you're right, Joe, that's something they got to figure out on the edges and everything before they get ready for Saturday's game against Boise State, because, again, playing against Michigan and Ohio State and Illinois and all these teams that are, usually their front sevens and, front four are usually pretty legit, for the most part. So there's some kinks to work out, and it's the first game. So, there is no preseason for college football, which kind of sucks. There should be at least a jamboree or something like that for college to let guys kind of, get their legs underneath them and everything. But hey, this was their preseason game. They won it. And, now hope the regular season starts for them next week, hopefully.
And we need some horny goat weed in the Ducks locker room.
Put it in their Gatorade. Possibly. Put it in their Gatorade. Maybe to put a little pep in their step.
Yeah, I like that you refer to this as a preseason game, because I've always thought as the of the non-conference schedule as kind of the preseason. And, I think you talk about fans expecting like a big score like Oregon's opener against Portland State last year. What, they win like 81-7 or something like that? Gives you a lot of confidence about the high-flying offense that you heard about all summer. And with the move to the Big Ten, you heard everything being pumped up about this Oregon Duck team. Now, the defense, they stepped up. We can talk more about that. But
a lot of fart smelling down in Eugene, which I don't blame. But, again, good to get humbled early in the season rather than late.
Yeah, there's a little fart sound for you. But it is frustrating to see the offensive line, I think, that was also highly touted, multiple All-Americans coming in. And then you've got, like, before your first game even starts, Matthew Bedford's out. You talked about Laulu having to move over to guard.
Thank you, yeah.
And that is a really frustrating point because this line is anchored. Usually any offensive line, Will Ortner will tell you here on The Fan, by the center. The center is the leader, and everybody's kind of playing to him. So when you have Charlie Piggott having to step in at the last second, I don't think he personally was bad, but the line was off. I mean, yeah, Cornelius, two times, he's off lining behind the line, and he's literally being screamed at by Dan Lanning, you know, after it's happening, it happens again.
He's the one that gave up the sack that caused the fumble.
Exactly. It's just
he had
like
a couple times where he was letting that edge rusher get deep into the pocket.
Like boneheaded mistakes by guys that have been there, been in the program with Dan Lanning for a while, and you wonder, why weren't you ready to play? And once again, all the hype coming into this season, I was pretty upset to see guys dancing around, you know, on the sidelines when they were maybe up by like three. And I think Kenyon Barner, former Duck running back, tweeted even. He's like
why are we dancing?
What are you doing? Like, we aren't up by anything.
Well, that's what these kids do now. They dance.
Well, and I saw what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And that, like, there was like a caveat to it. Like, the two players that I saw, offensive linemen. Now, granted, one of them was, I think, like third or fourth string. Another one was a backup. But again, not a good look when the weakest unit of the day, the backups are there dancing to shout. And I'm like, dude, just
chill.
If I'm the coach,
team doesn't dance that.
If I'm the coach, I am showing that in the film room the next day. I'm like, what exactly were we so excited about and happy about?
Like, you did know? You guys care more about dancing to shout than finding the mic? Because we need to identify the mic. And they couldn't pick up a blitz. They gave up three sacks in one game after giving up five sacks all of last season. So there's obviously a point to fix on the offensive line. Very frustrating. And once again, this was Idaho that you allowed this against. This isn't an SEC team. And you'll wonder, come Ohio State, come Michigan time here in the Big Ten, will Oregon be able to compete after that game? I mean, it's a flat out no. Has me a little scared.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to completely crap on the Ducks, though, because they did get a win, right? And ultimately, outside of the offensive line, everything looked okay, right? Your receiving core looks strong. Your running game looks strong. Obviously, Dylan Gabriel, you know, missed only eight passes and threw damn near 50 of them. Ultimately, you mentioned, Jordan, the defense, looked pretty strong. So ultimately, you had a good game. I just think there are a lot of missed opportunities there for the Ducks. Lots of kind of, it was very hectic, I guess, in that pocket for Dylan Gabriel. And there's some things to work out, and I do believe that dancing is going to be on the in the film room, you know, this week for the offensive line. Probably some extra drills, and you know, for them as well. But ultimately, you got the win. Everybody's, you know, what was it, Michigan 30-10. You know, so everybody isn't just blowing teams out.
And Michigan, I want to say, got 17 points in the fourth quarter. Ohio State was a little slow to start. But again, you had teams that, you know, Alabama 63-0, I believe.
Alabama usually
Texas 54-0 against Colorado State, who is an FBS school, mind you.
Yeah, and everybody stops saying, oh, Idaho's a really good FBS school. They're going to be in the playoff. Yeah, I don't care. Oregon should still roll over them. There's no point even in bringing that up. This is Oregon. Full stop.
Yeah, it was much to be desired on the offensive end. I will say, defense plays like that week in and week out, though, they're going to keep them in a lot of games. Defensive line, the edges were great for Oregon. Brandon Johnson had a pretty good game in the secondary. If he can keep it up, that will be to be, you know, determined. But they will get, I believe it's Jaleel Florence back for them in the secondary for the Oregon Ducks. He was not playing in this one. Also, keep in mind, Jeffrey Bassa ended up leaving the first quarter of this game as well.
Yeah, good point.
So the defense, I thought, played surprisingly well considering some of the elements, but absolute lockdown for the first chunk of that game. And yeah, if you take away a double flea flicker trick play,
which was, it kind of looked like a forward pass, but it wasn't. It just, whatever.
It was close, but.
We'll write that one off as.
Initially, you know, me being biased, I was like, oh, yeah, that was, yeah, he threw that forward. And then I look at it again, I'm like, eh, that's too much to overturn it. And then their drive that they scored on the second, their second touchdown, it was a solid drive. They got a good screenplay, chunk play. And that was the thing too, is like Idaho had some chunk plays, like multiple plays that went over 30 yards. That's what we miss on the Oregon offense too, was that those explosion plays, those 20 plus yard gainers, 30 plus yard gainers. I don't know if it was, you know, Gabriel just taking what the defense gave him and dinking and dunking his way to, you know, almost 400 yard game. But, that's what we would love to see in the Boise State next game, is this offense really open up and offensive line just having to step it up to give this game. I mean, they ran for 4.2 yards, the running backs yesterday, 4.2 yards a carry. They averaged 5.9 last year. So, I mean, that running the ball, giving Gabriel enough time, a protective pocket, the offensive line, it's going to be, they have something to prove, not just this week, but going forward.
And the main thing I kind of took away from at least what I saw is they were able to grind it out. Things weren't perfect, you mentioned, you know, but they were still able to grind out a win. And in this new version of the Big Ten, that's what they're going to need to do. You know, you're going to have to grind out those wins against Illinois. And I'm not looking at the schedule, but Iowa and all those teams that are, you know, it's kind of smash mouth football, you know, type programs. And so I think this was a good learning lesson, you know, first game of the season as far as what to expect. And so, man, I do expect to see much better next week.
All right.
If I can watch the game.
We shall see. I think actually next week's game is on Peacock too. So best of luck.
Definitely have Peacock.
Got to get the cock. Got to get that locked and loaded. We talked about the Ducks. Let's go to the team up north in Corvallis. We had a little bit better Saturday. Beavs, big win against Idaho State. We get to that next here, Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan. But first, Schultzy, Sports Center update. Well, I definitely opened my mouth a little too soon yesterday. It was around, was it halfway through the second? And the Oregon State fans have been waving their little willies around all weekend saying, look at us, at least we can watch our team. And then I tweeted it out. I was like, yeah, you probably don't want to, because they were barely beating Idaho State 10-9.
Yeah, I took the, I think it was 12.5 at that point, Idaho State to cover. I took that line. I lost.
Oregon State ends up running away with it 38-15. And I say running because they ran for 355 yards, I believe. Let's get the final number here. 362 yards. 58 rushing attempts, 362 yards. They only passed the ball 14 times, but they didn't need to because they have a dual-headed monster at running back, it seems.
Oh, man.
Hey, with Jam Griffin and Anthony Hankerson, who
Jam.
Just...
Jam!
If you played college football 25 at all this summer, like I signed with the Beavers in my Road to Glory program, then you would know.
He's legit.
That Oregon State's running game is still legit, even though they've got no Damian Martinez. Who's he?
Those corn Fred Hosses down in Corvallis. Lot of fields down there. Got their wheat. They got their fiber.
Do they talk like that in Corvallis?
I hope so. I really hope so. I want Corvallis to just act Southern, even though it's just in Oregon, in between Eugene and Portland, two of the most liberal left-wing cities in America. Just please, let Corvallis just be the most Southern. You some bitch. Why you think you're coming here?
Yeah, exactly.
You've been to Corvallis?
A couple times, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like, hey, let's go to Corvallis.
I'll say this.
Unless you're going there to party in college or go to a game.
This is going
to
piss you guys off, as, you know, Jordan's in all his Oregon colors and Joe is an alum.
Corvallis is the better college town.
I didn't say that. I will say it was more fun to party there sometime, though.
No, I think I agree with you. Yeah. I spent more time in Corvallis.
I'm just saying, like, anyway. I went to Western, so I was like only 20 minutes away from Corvallis. Like, all my friends and stuff were in Eugene, but hey, they were kicking it in Corvallis, and I wasn't mad at it.
I had a friend in high school. He started college a year early, so when it was like our senior year of high school, he was already down at Oregon State, and his brother was in a frat. And he invited me and a friend to come down for a Friday night and stay at his dorm. and or at his, like, in his room at his frat, because they have like their sleeping quarters and then they have like their own room to like study in. And, you know, one of the other frat members, you know, it's like their just hangout room, but then they have like their bunk beds and their rooms to sleep in. Right. And boy, what an impression that left on 17-year-old Joe that night down there in Corvallis.
Oh, I'm sure.
Must have had a good time.
I was,
you out, man.
Yeah, I was, my eyes were open as to what college was like at that point in time.
Yeah, Oregon State, shout out to,
so I'll give them a tip of the cap when it comes to the partying side. What's the Hawaiian place down there? Is it, Local Boys?
Oh, I don't know. Sherry's? I don't know.
I'm trying to think of, they got the, yeah, I think it's Local Boys.
I thought Sherry's was their only restaurant.
You know, they can do better on the Mac salad. I'll say that much. The Hawaiian Mac salad.
Not a big Mac salad guy, so I'll take your word for it.
But the Beavs, man, they got it together yesterday. If they can hang their hat on the running game, and granted, it is a Idaho State, but if they can do that every week and just run the ball, kill the clock, win the time of possession battle, and if their quarterback play can just improve throughout the year, you saw two quarterbacks on the field for them yesterday. Giovanni McCoy, which is the transfer from Idaho. And who said Idaho wasn't good? And Gabari Johnson, who only passed the ball four times. I mean, Giovanni McCoy should be their starter.
Oh, he looked good.
I thought that, you know, when there was the whole leading up to the season quarterback battle, who's it going to be? McCoy? Is it going to be Gulbranson? Is Gabari Johnson going to be? And I'm like, dude, start the kid from Idaho.
It's not going to be Gulbranson.
Dude, start Giovanni McCoy and just lock it in, because that dude, like, he was a stud at Idaho, and, you know, small sample size yesterday, 9 for 10, 114 yards, one touchdown, but he had his one touchdown was really nice, where he just dropped it in the bucket. The receiver who caught it is escaping me right now, but it was a very nice long pass play that had to leave Beaver fans very encouraged about what they can possibly do in the passing game this year.
David Wells Jr.
Thank you. Thank you. But it was, I mean, I even remember seeing the highlight at that point, because I was watching the other games and it popped up on my Twitter feed, and I was like, oh, it was a very nice play. But again, this game was won on the ground, so and props to the Beavs on that, because they just kept running the ball.
This season could potentially have been a blessing in disguise for the Beavs. Like, they were not even arguably, they were the surprise story of the Pac-12 last year, right? You know, nobody saw the Beavers coming out and playing as well as they actually did throughout the season. This season, outside of having Oregon on your schedule and then Boise State at the end of the year, the Beavs have an awesome opportunity to run through this schedule. If they can play anything like they played yesterday and keep the ball, if that two-headed monster, you know, is able to produce, I'm not even going to say half of, but, you know, even, you know, three quarters of what they did yesterday, I think this Beavs team is in great shape as they get ready to move forward. Trent Bray has got them playing, so far, inspired football, you know. And again, it's Idaho State, so much like we were talking about with Oregon, it's against Idaho.
Again,
so
they took care of their business.
They did. They took care of, you know, they took care of what they need to take care of. But next week is San Diego State, and then they got Oregon, which is obviously the big test for them. But how sweet would it be for Beaver fans? And I'm knocking on some type of wood around here. It's not much here. But if they could go ahead and play spoiler to this Ducks team on the third game. I'm saying, considering the way we saw Oregon play yesterday.
I won't have it.
Just saying, man. We know that the Beavs play up for Oregon, and now that this game isn't at the end of the season where everybody's all beat up, and who knows? I'm just saying, who knows? So if the Beavs have a great opportunity in front of them.
Erroneous on all counts.
Yeah, I'm just saying the Beavs have a great opportunity to take – if you look at their schedule, it's like,
it's pretty,
bruh,
pretty cupcake.
It's pretty good, right?
Minus, you know, their Super Bowl in Oregon. Yeah.
And that's it. You know, and mind you, the worst part is having to play, and Oregon is at home, so they play them at Autzen. So,
and they play a lot of games themselves at home, the Beavers do. I feel like their travel's made a little bit easier because of this whole Mountain West, you know, Pac-2 hybrid thing.
How sweet would it be end of the season the Beavers end up in the playoffs?
Oh, my God.
How crazy would that be?
Stop.
Like, come on, man. Look, that, Joe, look at this schedule. Tell me that this that
it's
is
a little
not
video games
plausible.
Talking there, but it's.
Tell me it's not plausible. They go, well, it, how many games?
It's not happening, Rashad. He's doing on-air counting.
They go 11-1.
No, it's not. If they went an 11-1, it's not going to happen. They would have to go. They would have to beat Oregon and go 12-0. That's undebatable.
You think there's going to be a bunch of undefeated teams?
It's not about being. No, there's not going to be a bunch of undefeated teams. But now that there's a 12-team college football playoff, losses in the season, you know, week three or four for a big team aren't going to matter as much as they did under the old system. Hey, so
just saying, anything can happen, and I'm pulling for the Beavs, man.
This is reminds me of when we were talking last week after the show, like when we play these like ridiculous scenarios in our heads that we know can't happen, like the Saints and Derek Carr, they win the Super Bowl. Like,
how great would that be?
That'd be hilarious.
How great would that be?
Derek Carr finishes off his MVP season.
Like I said, I'm looking at the Oregon State schedule and I'm saying, why not them? Like, why couldn't they do it?
You guys sound like the people wearing all the 1992 Buffalo Bills Super Bowl champion shirts, you know? All the people that get sent the shirts that like are the wrong Super
There's
Bowl
somebody
winner.
In some like, you know, some sovereign, you know, place that thinks that the Bills are the greatest franchise.
Jim Kelly's the best.
Jim
ever.
Kelly, oh my gosh, man. How many? He's got four rings. What do you mean? That's crazy. I've actually looked online for those shirts.
But oh, they would for go any for shirts for the for losers if you could find them.
I just want one. I would love to wear like a, you know, a Patriots Super Bowl shirt from the first Giants championship.
I can't imagine living through those times as a Buffalo Bills fan. Just like you get like after the first year, like, man, I still think we got a good team. I think we can get back there and win it next year. You lose the second one, like, oh my God. All right. No way this happens
so
the third
close.
Time.
No. Third time's definitely the charm.
And then do you think even after that third straight Super Bowl loss, they still have faith?
No.
Or do you think they were like, all right, there's no way we're going
to have to go play
this
game?
That's a broken fan base. Yeah.
I would love to see talk to the Buffalo Bill fans that were living during that time after the third Super Bowl. Like, I had just as much confidence in them in the fourth one as the first three. Yeah, that rough time.
Well, as a Mariners fan, I can appreciate delusion because, you know, I dream of a World Series that will never happen. So
we're up against it. So what I want to do in the next segment, since we are now officially in the full slate of college football season, have you seen some of the names of the college football players that are floating around?
They're always great.
Oh, they're fantastic. And I got a list of some of the best football player names in college football this year. It is, it's so good. So good. Real life Key and Peele segment, essentially. We get to that next here. Football Sunday. Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor, Schultzy, Denny the Fan. This is a day where I wish we had an extra hour. I mean,
oh, yeah.
So much college football.
That first day back from football, yeah.
And then we got, you know, some NFL to talk about in the next segment.
Boss Man. What really, what is on at 11 o'clock?
I don't know, but.
NASCAR? Who here in Portland is listening to NASCAR?
I don't know. I think we only just do the Daytona.
Oh.
On air.
Who here in Portland is listening to the Daytona on the radio?
Hey, you some bitch. That's one of the best races in America.
So I mess with NASCAR, like just so we're clear.
Hey,
you know?
The greatest basketball player of all time messes with NASCAR. Okay, Michael Jordan.
I was gonna say LeBron.
He was in the pit. Oh, don't.
I'm gonna.
He was
Sorry.
In the pits recently. I forgot. I forget what. I think he owns a car.
Did he have huge
like
jeans on?
I hope so.
And cowboy boots and something.
I
like
hope
that.
So.
A fedora.
That's something I'd want to see. Fully cowboy Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan is the worst dresser in the history of dressers.
And worst facial hair choices of all time. I mean,
awful. The little Hitler stash.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing, bro?
The only person to ever get away with that. I mean, imagine that in social media nowadays if he did that. If a Hanes commercial came out
the
in 2024 and Michael Jordan sitting there with a Hitler stash.
The worst is the Pepe Le Pew mustache.
Oh, just a very
thin.
Thin.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Just cut it.
All right. You ready for some college football player names?
Let's hear it.
All right. So Rufio on the Vancouver Ford text line, he already brought up one of them. Quarterback for University of Louisiana Monroe, General Booty.
General Booty.
Yeah. Oh, General Booty.
Yep. Yep.
So his real first name is General.
Yeah. That's what it says on the roster.
It's not his nickname.
General Booty. We're going to go to SMU for this one. Offensive lineman. And perfect offensive lineman name, King Large.
I like it.
First name King, last name Large. Just.
General's full name is General Maximus Axel Booty.
That's
even better.
Amazing. I would want that whole thing on my jersey.
That'd be General Maximus Atticus? What was
Axel.
It?
Axel.
Axel.
Like Axel Foley?
Exactly.
Jesus. King Large, it would be even funnier if he was like a wide receiver or something like that. Or like a 5'6 scat back, something like that.
And he is the nephew of former quarterback John David Booty. I was wondering that. They are related.
I have a name of a guy who doesn't play for, well, he's on the team, but doesn't get many minutes. His name is Memorable Factor.
Oh, Duke, right?
Yeah. What?
Memorable Factor.
Memorable Factor.
Good for him. And he is not a memorable factor of the team. He will not show up on the film. You do not need to remember Memorable Factor when you are prepping against Duke.
Well, he's a white running back, so that might be why.
Whoa!
Whoa. So is the first pick of the fantasy draft.
Yeah,
and come on. Who other than Christian McCaffrey has succeeded at that? Like, we're talking
racist.
About Peyton Hillis?
Yes!
Peyton Hillis.
For like a season?
Mike Allstott?
Very, very unfrequently we're talking about here. Anybody
can I parlay that into Larry Zonka? Huh?
Yeah, back in like the 70s.
Hey, that's another one. There you go. That's four, so there you go.
Franco Harris, we'll add him to that list.
Was Franco Harris completely white? I don't know if he was.
No, I think, yeah, you're right. I think it was mixed. My bad. Yeah,
all right, totally, continue with the names here. The Rice Owls, they got a player on the team. I don't know what position. Mo Billity. First name Mo, last name Billity.
These families, man. Like, what are we drinking when we decide on these names?
M O H Billity, Mobility.
Well, for my alma mater, UNLV, there's a guy named Tiger Shanks.
I'm scared already. Just Tiger. I don't even need to look at this guy. If imagine in like, that's a bully right there. That is a school bully. Oh. I'm looking at a picture of him.
Give me your lunch money. Good swirly.
Shut up, nerd.
He's the type of guy to give swirlies to kids. Yeah, look at him.
We got, and this was also brought up on the text line by Rufio, Rocky Beers. I don't know if that's FIU or Northern Colorado, what school that is, but Rocky Beers. And if he goes to a Colorado school, even better. Because, I mean, Coors Light.
So
cold as the mountains. Rocky Beers.
So, man. This is not a cultural name. This is not something that in the black community most of us would be okay with, just so we're clear. But a guy named Darealist Clark from
Darealist?
Darealist Clark.
You mean straight out of the Key and Peele
man,
segment?
Yes.
That's great.
That's awesome. What's your name, Darealist? You know how right now kids do this thing, like, What's your street name? Darealist Clark.
Yeah.
What's your real name?
Little pull up on your block. What's your real name? Gerald.
Yeah, that's what all these names sound like.
I'm going to pronounce this one way, but it's spelled another, so be my guess. I'm not even, you know, just for the sake of FCC violations, I'm not even going to say it. I'm just going to spell it.
Yeah, we you know.
His first name is spelled S-H-I-T-T-A.
Shita.
Shite.
Shida.
Or Shite. Yeah. I like Shite.
Yeah. Scylla. So Shida Scylla. But again, S-H-I-T-T-A.
I'm
not going to try it again.
Yeah, I don't think I want a violation today.
And I think this is my favorite by far. I believe for Central Arkansas, starting a defensive back, Dude Person.
I love it.
Your parents
it
suck,
like we tried
dude.
Very hard. Let's just name him Dude.
The Dude Abides.
And they both, and here's the thing. Both parents looked at each other and said, that's a great idea.
Again.
Let's put that on the birth certificate.
This is what these are babies when they're named. So you're looking at your baby. You're like, this is the best day of my life. I have a look at this cute little baby. What am I going to name him?
Darealist.
Dude.
And then so Darealist and his homeboy, DeColdest. Who plays for Nebraska? Yeah, DeColdest Crawford,
Darealist Clark, and DeColdest Crawford.
Yeah, that sounds like a tag team in WWE or something like that.
Darealist, DeColdest.
Yeah,
there's someone named Mr. Clark. His first name is Mr.
Stop.
So I think it was it Champ Bailey? I think it was that named his kids like Sir and King and everything like that. So white people would have to, refer to them as Mr. or Sir or whatever.
And I can't imagine like naming your kid like King or like something like that.
Hold on, Joe. Watch yourself, man. Watch yourself, bud.
better than Joe.
Yeah, yeah, real creative, bud.
Yeah, he's the fourth, too. Real creative bunch. Yeah, we didn't even have to think about it. Like, don't make this too hard on me, all right? Parker Titsworth out of Ohio.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Titsworth, get over here!
00.
Tits, come on!
Yeah.
Run harder! Yeah, and that's the thing. Coaches will sometimes abbreviate the last name. Like, they would just refer to me as Fish sometimes out there. So
of course. Fisher's too long to say.
Tits! Come on! You're better than that!
Yeah.
Tits, you're huge on that!
And he gets the numbers 00.
Fat Watts. Just P-H-A-T. Fat Watts.
I like it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this one. Louisiana Tech. Defensive back.
Oh, Pig.
Pig Cage.
Yeah.
Pig Cage. Pig. I hope the sideline just does that the entire time that he makes a big play.
The whole
stadium, dude. Oh, God.
That has to be a nickname. Like, there's no way.
I pray that none of these are nicknames.
I'm almost for sure that most of these are real names.
Let's go, Pig!
The coldest.
See!
Or the realest has a little, you know, somebody meant to pick these names. Derealist is something that can't be a nickname that you just came up with.
Derealist.
Yeah. Your mom named you Derealist.
All right. For the sake of time, I'll breeze through some of these. We got Demon Clowney playing for the Charlotte Raiders.
Charlotte Raiders. Okay.
Jet Law. Just a pretty cool name, you know.
If your name is Jet, you're in the mix.
Must get tons of chicks.
Yeah.
With a name like Jet Law.
Jet Jackson.
Memorable factor, you mentioned him for Duke. Now, this one is a Key and Peele name, Octavius Oxendine.
Yep.
For Kentucky.
Parents love diction, clearly.
Octavius.
Yeah, if he has a lisp, it's even better.
Oh my gosh. Good thing he plays football.
We got Chief Borders over in Pitt. And then the last couple here, Major Burns for LSU.
Major Burns.
Ow. Need an ointment with that.
Yeah. I don't know. That means he's probably out there scorching fools out there on the field.
I hope.
Major Burns or something else Burns. Hopefully
Ooh,
not.
No. It is college, though.
Tennessee, Squirrel White.
I saw that. Don't like the name Squirrel.
I feel like
he's really small. Or more than likely, he's probably an offensive lineman.
The parents choosing the name Squirrel, they're right out on that.
He's number three, so I don't think he's an offensive lineman.
That's college.
Is he a corner?
He could be. Or he could be an edge rusher, frankly.
Yeah, can we get single number offensive lineman out there, please?
I'm with it.
Stretching out those numbers. Is that a three or an eight? What is that? You mentioned Tiger Shanks, and then Uber Ajungo for Wake Forest. This Uber is his first name. Spelt like the car, right?
Yeah.
His teammate is named Lyft. How about that?
Is
really?
It really? No. I was about to say, what?
No. It's like L-Y-F-T.
Lyft Jenkins, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that Dude Person is probably my favorite out of all of these. Or Pig Cage.
Memorable factor is pretty good.
Pig Cage.
The coldest Crawford. I'm saying, like, I'm the coldest. How good are you? I'm the coldest, man. I love it. Parents said that's
the one. Oh, but I suck.
That's the one.
My name's the coldest, but I am terrible.
If your name is the coldest or the realest, you better be good at whatever sport you play.
Yeah.
You better be good.
All right. So King Large, Dude Person, and then Pig Cage. Those are my three. That's my top three best names in college football.
Sterilis Clark, the coldest Crawford, and Tiger Shanks.
Yeah. Every pick, every big play. Just imagine 65,000 strong at Louisiana Tech in that stadium.
That would sound weird.
I've always said that I wanted the Dolphins stadium. Like whenever the Dolphins get a first down, just everybody in that stadium.
I'm glad they
at
don't.
At the same time, I'm just ear-piercingly loud.
Don't give anybody any ideas.
Oh, dude, imagine if you're an away team and you're just hearing just the Dolphins faithful just squeaking like Dolphins after a big play. It would drive you insane.
It would drive you nuts, man.
Yeah. It would probably drive the Dolphins players insane.
I'm not going to the games at all.
All right, hour number one wrapped up. Hour two, get into some NFL football. This is what I want to do. I want to do a brief NFC South synopsis, all right? Take our team.
How brief?
Like a segment.
Okay.
Because I want to go in segment two. I want to choose some playoff teams. I want to choose some playoff teams. I want to choose Super Bowl winners, conference winners. I want to lock it in for this 2024-2025 season.
Okay.
You guys ready for that?
Let's do it.
All right. Hour number two, we go NFL heavy, NFC South breakdown. Our predictions for the year and then might get to some more college football because there was plenty of it yesterday. Hour number two, Sports Sunday, Football Sunday, right here, 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.